Oh, yeah. Good talking to you, Paul.
All right. Take care, Eric. Thank you.
Giants.com. Well, you know, bottom line is one more week to go. And so the Giants take the Washington Redskins Sunday at 1 o'clock. Instances, by the way, where the Giants and the Jets both have 1 o'clock games. The Jets will be in Miami to take on the Dolphins. The Giants will be to take on the Redskins. I think time since the merger when the Giants and Jets actually have a game simultaneously. It does not happen very, very. All right, 209-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's open. You're on the program. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Morning.
Morning. You know, one of the things, I mean, game that worries me is, you know, the state of our offensive line. The Redskins have a good front, potentially Arakpo's out for this game, but given Will Beattie's struggles, it doesn't really matter who you line. It seems like anyone can really. So to me, priority in this game is, you know, do what you did against Detroit in the first half, do some quick passes for, you know, Eli. That's because, you know, the state of the offensive line is just really poor. I imagine Dallas Reynolds will be in the lineup or right guard. Is that the plan?
Well, we don't know right now, but as you saw in Detroit the other day, when Mosley got hurt and came out very, very quickly, they threw Reynolds in there, and they kept Booth at center, which is interesting because Dallas Reynolds, as I understood it, had some experience at center when he was in Philadelphia during a pit stop there. And so I was a bit surprised that they decided to keep Booth at center and put Reynolds in at guard. One of the options would have been put Reynolds at center and move Booth to guard. But they decided to go the other way. And despite the fact that the Giants gave up two sacks and Eli did get hit a number of times, I actually thought that line did a fairly decent job in pass protection. Beattie gave up two sacks again. He's had a horrible season and another horrible game. But, I thought that line was adequate enough. Eli had some room to operate, and he did what he had to do to win the game. Of course, the running game was non-existent. They had no holes at all for the running game. But pass pro wasn't so bad.
No, and I got to give those guys credit. You know, both Mosley and Reynolds did go in there and they battled. I mean, at least they battled Sue. You know, they had their hands full, but they were working hard out there. You could see it. So, you know, kind of players battling for their football lives. You know, so they're motivated, no doubt. One question I had for you, Paul, is, you know, why are we deviating from our philosophies, right? I mean, you hear Jerry Reese in some news conference, he says, our bigs have to be big, right? And last year, our bigs weren't big at the defensive tackle position, so we got a so-called big butts. I look at our offensive line, we don't really have big guys in there. And I like Pugh quite a bit, but he's not, you know, I want Kareem McKenzie type of right tackle, right? I want a mauler.
Well, see, that's why you're going to listen to me when I tell you the Giants need to draft Tiny Richardson out of Tennessee. He's a beast. A beast.
Well, you know, I like Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle at Auburn. He's kind of similar, but maybe a little more athletic. But anyhow, we can get into that later in the offseason.
You got it.
We got to get big people. We got to get mauling people who blow people off the line of scrimmage. And Beattie, Pugh, I like, you know, could Pugh be a center? There was talk that he has 10-inch hands, and he's an awfully smart guy.
You know, he's got the ability.
Being interest center?
Yeah, he's got the ability, they believe, to convert to either guard or center. They think he's going to be able to play any of the positions along the offensive line, which is great because he's already proven that he can play right tackle at a pretty high level in this league. I think he's had a really good season, even for a rookie. I think he's played well. And
if they've
got to leave him there, that's okay. But if they can wind up getting a right tackle, a stud right tackle, then they've got the luxury of being able to move him in. Look, this is no different than when they got David Deal many years ago and said, okay, well, what are we going to do? We know he's a good player, and we think he can play multiple positions. So let's just see where the puzzle fits or the pieces fit into the puzzle, and he'll be one of them. He's going to play somewhere. And we'll just have to fit things around him. That's the beauty of what Justin Pugh is. He's that talented. They believe they can plug him in anywhere. So it's a matter of where can they acquire the other pieces. If they can easier find a guard or a center, then maybe Pugh stays at right tackle. But I'd like to go the other way and see if I can move him inside.
Well, you know, he's got the low center of gravity, and he's a smart kid. I mean,
he really is.
You know, a smart, committed player. You can't go wrong with someone like that. Now, but let me just ask you a question about Beattie. I mean, I just wouldn't hand him a starting left tackle spot next year because he's making a lot of money. I mean, what's gone on with this guy? I mean,
well, look, he's a finesse left tackle. And thank you so much for the call. I'm going to let you go. He's a finesse left tackle. He's not a power tackle, okay? Anytime you are dealing with a finesse type of player, that means his technique has to be flawless, and it's got to be that way each and every time out. Whenever he screws up on his technique, he is going to get beaten badly because that's the only thing he's got to rely upon against opposing players. And Beatty himself has said, maybe because of the big money and the high-priced contract, he has tried to do too much. He's gotten out of his technique, out of his rhythm, out of his comfort zone, and he's tried to become maybe something that he wasn't and has gotten very, very erratic in his technique. Look where that's gotten him. It's made him into a real liability along that offensive line this season. Now, I hearken back to last year when he only gave up 3 sacks all season long and was really strong in pass protection. Never great as a run blocker, again, because he's a finesse tackle. But he was so strong in pass protection last year that the Giants opened up the vault for him. Now, one of two things are going to happen here. Either A, he's going to get back to what he did last season and be a good pass-protecting left tackle next season, and the Giants certainly hope that's the case, or maybe they have to consider moving him. Maybe the Giants draft a left tackle and Pugh moves to the inside and maybe Will Beatty flops to right tackle and plays over there instead. I'd rather not do that. I'll tell you why. Because you're better off having a mauler at right tackle because that's usually the strong side right where you want to run the ball and you want a big, physical, tough SOB manning that spot. You usually don't want a finesse right tackle. You'd rather have a finesse left tackle because he can handle pass protection and your big stud, physical, nasty, grizzly bear right tackle is the guy who is going to pave the way for your running game. That's the conventional way to go. So I'd prefer not to move Beatty over there. But there's certainly an opportunity to do it. He has played both sides earlier in his career. That might be the way to go. I've had other people say to me, he's so athletic, maybe he should be a guard. Maybe he should just move inside. I suppose all of these things are going to be open for discussion during the offseason as the Giants try to figure out how to refortify this offensive line. Because if they do not, it's going to be another losing season next year, folks. Make no mistake about that. Ernest from Connecticut, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
Hello, I would like to ask a question, but I'd like to just hear the answer, that's it. Do you think that they will bring back Beatty? At least I'm hoping that they bring him back. And do you think that that they may chop Eli Manning's contract, well, tweet it a little bit so that we can get some better players? And do you think that Jacobs will be back next year?
Okay, let's take these one at a time. First, Will Beatty. I believe he will be back. He's got a very, very substantial contract. It's hard to imagine the Giants parting ways and cutting him. Where he plays, again, we just talked moments ago, that's open for discussion. In terms of Eli Manning, I believe that he will wind up getting an extension of at least 2 or 3 years, and they will be able to lower his cap number for the 2014 season. That will allow the Giants some extra room to sign some more players. That would be my expectation. In terms of Brandon Jacobs, he had cartilage replacement surgery a week and a half ago. He right now is waffling whether or not he wants to try to come back or not. Now, medically speaking, if it is proven, this is a new procedure he just underwent, if it is proven to the medical folks during the course of the offseason that his knee is okay and he could take it, I'd say there is certainly an outside chance that he does come to training camp and gives it a go to try to make this team again as a backup, not as a starter, but as a backup. I think that is a possibility. I know the door has been open for him. The Giants are willing to listen to that possibility, provided that the knee is medically sound. Now, that's a big if. You just don't know if that's going to be the case. If it is not, then Brandon Jacobs is perfectly willing to retire as well. He came back here, wanted to retire as a Giant, wanted to prove that he had something left to give once he got back out onto the field. He had a 100-yard day on national television in Chicago, had a big 75-yard day on only, I think, 9 carries against the Dallas Cowboys. He did everything he could while he was on the field to show he had a little something to give this team, and that was a matter of personal pride for him. He desperately wanted to show that, and he did. So, mission accomplished for Brandon Jacobs. And if this is, in fact, the end, and there's certainly a good chance that it is, then he's okay with that. So, I just don't have a concrete answer for you. It looks like you'd have to lean, based on medical information, that, you know, he's had a major surgery. You'd have to lean to the fact that he will retire. But until those retirement papers are in, I'd say there's always a chance that you may see him back here to provide some depth. Let's face it, the Giants got some questions at running back. David Wilson with stenosis of the neck. You'd have to think that right now the odds of him coming back here are not great. And Andre Brown, who has never proven he could get through a full season healthy, is a free agent at the end of this season. And you just don't know exactly what kind of numbers he's going to want. And you also don't know if you want to rely on a guy like that, who's never played more than 6 games in a row in his career. So these are things you must consider when trying to reconfigure the Giants running back core. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to Len from Columbia. Happy holidays, Len. Good to be with you.
Hey, happy holidays, Paul. Good to hear your voice. First and foremost, you know, let's win this game on Sunday in front of the home folks. You know, you got to win your home games. You know, you got to send your fans home, your best customers home, happy. And let's go out there and win this game on Sunday. Secondly, you know, if we're all together in the fall and the show is still on, you know, I hope Eric Kennedy is part of the family. That's been a nice 10-15 minute segment on Thursday mornings. If I counted correctly, Paul, the guard they just added, putting Cooper Taylor on injured reserve and adding Eric Hermann off the practice squad, he will be the 13th offensive lineman that has been part of the 53 this year.
I believe that's correct.
That's a lot of offensive linemen.
Well, they've already had, you know, 7 different starting offensive line configurations.
Unbelievable.
Which is even more important, to be perfectly frank with you.
Well, I would agree with you on that. I would agree with you on that. You know, by my way of thinking, Paul, I want 4 of them on the roster next year. Beatty and Pugh.
Yeah.
I want Booth as my swing inside lineman, center and guards.
Sure.
We've got to get a new center. And I want Mosley to have another shot. And I see him as my 8th lineman. We got to go get a veteran swing tackle to get us to 8 linemen, you know, 3 new guys inside. Maybe draft, maybe free agency, but I see 3 new guys starting inside next year.
3's a lot,
and,
Len. You know that, right? You know, I'm after 2 starting linemen at opening day. Anita says to me that may even be a little much, but she's willing to go for 2. I think 3 starting offensive linemen new to the equation may be a bit much to ask. That's a lot of turnover.
I know, and maybe that's my frustration coming out, Paul. But and what I was going to say about the rest of them, you know, God bless David Deal and Boss and Snee, great pros and great Giants. You know, if you want to invite them back and give them a shot, go ahead. But, you know, if we don't, it's not going to bother me in the least. We just got to redo that whole offensive line. And I agree with you. You know, all offseason I was talking about getting tougher along the defensive line. I didn't want to get pushed around anymore, I guess is the way I put it, the whole offseason. And now I'm thinking offensively, and I'm thinking the same thing, Paul. You know, I just don't want to get pushed around anymore. I'm tired of watching them flying around like bowling pins. We got to get some toughness up there. We got to get some grit. We got to get some anchors. We got to stand our ground. We got to get mean. We just got to get a lot more physical and tougher. I don't want to get pushed around anymore, Paul. I'm tired of it. Now you look at the free agents, and then this is something really for down the road, January, February, when we get into free agency. You know, you got to wonder when you look at those free agents. Some of them are going to come back. I think we got, if I counted right, Paul, I think we got 24 unrestricted.
Yeah, I think it's even more than that. I think it's 27, somebody mentioned to me the other day.
Okay. And I know there's four restricted also. But, yeah, you know, Paul, we're not talking about Pro Bowlers in there.
That's for sure.
You know, let's not get too worked up. I have to tell you, I would be a terrible general manager and a terrible coach because I'm so biased, you know. I'm ready to plan for Adrian Robinson going into the Hall of Fame. I'm so biased, Paul.
Well, you clearly have a problem if you're thinking on those lines, okay? And it has nothing to do with bias. It may have to do with your eyesight.
I know I'm also exaggerating a bit, but I think you get the idea. I'd make a lie. I can't free myself up to do this, but I'm starting to get to that point, and I look at these 24, 26, whatever it is, unrestricted free agents, and I'm saying to myself, you know, geez, Paul, if any of them go, we just fill in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no Hall of Famers in there. There's no Pro Bowlers.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, the Giants are going to miss Linval Joseph, who's going to get a big offer from somebody, and he will go.
Yeah.
And he has been a very steady and solid
yes.
defensive tackle. And
yes.
they will miss him.
Yes.
I'm telling you that right now. They will miss him. Now, they do have depth there, and they've got some young
yes.
players there. Marcus Kuhn,
yes.
Jonathan Hankins. That's
Hankins
really good. That's really
yeah.
good. And so they should be able to sustain that loss, but they will miss Joseph.
Are you surprised that a relatively good, who's going to play another 5 or 6 years at the pro level, a relatively good defensive lineman doesn't get a second contract with the Giants? I mean, we go back to Cornelius Griffin, Barry Cofield, and now Linville. There's something about that second contract, but... And
yeah, but you're talking about a position that they can replace easier than they can defensive ends.
There you go. Especially with you know, Hankins.
No
and
doubt.
If there are, let me just try to make one more point. And I hope Linville comes back again. Maybe that's my bias about.
Len, I should add this to you. I should add this to you too. You'll be sorry if Tuck leaves. You will.
Yeah.
You'll be sorry if Tuck leaves because he would be, bless you, he would be a tough guy to replace. He has proven now over the last half of this season. In fact, to be honest, even the first month of the season when the Giants were losing and he wasn't getting a pass rush, and we were talking about, well, really, is this the end of the line for him? He was playing the run well, and we talked about that, how he's lost his pass rush, but he's playing the run well. Is he just now
nothing
more than Eric Dorsey, you know?
Yes.
And that's kind of what I thought. But then look what happened. He was able to get things going again. And may I add to you, this is the first time in three seasons he's been relatively healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
So you'll miss him if he leaves. I don't think he will.
Well, I'm a big fan. I mean, I'm just, I don't know if I'm showing my bias or not, but one more thing with Linville. Let's assume for the moment, Paul, that there's 15 or 16 teams that play a 4-3 defense.
Right.
And the others play a 3-4. It's probably split down the middle. But let's just, for the sake of discussion, go with 15, 16 teams. We're talking about 32 starting defensive tackles out of a 4-3 defense. Where is Linville in there amongst those 32? I mean, he can't slide out and play end like Colin Jenkins. Is he the best defensive tackle on the team, Paul?
Pure defensive tackle? Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
He is.
Okay, I accept that.
If you want to add value to Jenkins because he can move around, that's a value-added facet of his game. But you're just talking about a guy who's going to line up and play the position. Joseph is the best they've got.
Okay, now, I don't want to go through 32 defensive tackles, that's all, because I don't know them all anyway. But, I mean, where do you sense Linville rates within those 32 starting defensive
top 10.
Tackles? You think he's top 10?
Yes, I do.
Well, you just made a pretty good argument for, you know, extending him.
You can't.
I wouldn't be disappointed.
He's going to get too much money elsewhere, just like Cofield and just like Cornelius Griffin before him. He's going to get too much money. And, again, you're going to be hoping that Hankins develops into what you think he'll be, and you're going to hope that Marcus Kuhn develops into what you think he'll be. And that's why, that's why you got to do it. You got to let him go.
If Linville goes, I hope Big Hank and Jenkins, you know, stay healthy next year and get a chance to play together. I think Hankins is going to be a good, strong football player.
Yeah.
The question is, 4 years from now, are we going to be talking about him like Cornelius and Barry? And
I hear you.
Bill, you know what I mean? But essentially, he plays the same. That's the same slot as Linville. I mean, you know, so it could slide in there. Well, in any event, Paul, great talking to you as usual. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Len.
Let's go Giants. Let's go Giants. Let's win this last game in front of the fans.
All right, Len. Enjoy it on Sunday. All
Thanks.
The best. Thank you. Len from Columbia, Maryland. As Anita says, our show is never complete unless we hear from Len. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's see if we can log into Twitter. I think some of you folks probably have hit us up on Giants Chat. Haven't had the chance to do that thus far this morning. We've been hitting up the phone calls and, of course, talking to Eric Kennedy of Big Blue Interactive. So, oh, let's see what we have here on the Twitter machine this morning as the Giants get ready for the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins. Okay, we have Elo H says, I heard New York Giants may consider a franchise tag on Knicks. Any chance they use it on Linval Joseph instead? We just talked about the fact that Linval Joseph is probably going to get a very big financial offer from somebody else as an unrestricted free agent. No, I don't think the Giants would use the tag on him. And I don't think they would use it on Knicks, who's fought now through two consecutive injury-plagued seasons. A franchise tag for him is going to be well in excess of $10 million, and the Giants are just not going to be able to do that kind of number for a guy who has been hurt quite a bit. What about Pierre Paul? Will he return, says Parrish Gosalia. I'm sorry. We just don't know the answer to that. And the fact is, they tried to get him back out there before the season ended. It's going to end on Sunday. And JPP, again with that strange shoulder, did not practice yesterday. I'm going to say that he's not going to play on Sunday based on the knowledge that we have now. Could things change? I'm sure they could. The Giants medical staff has said that his shoulder is strained to the point where they don't think he can properly defend himself in the field of battle, and they're worried that he could further injure himself. Given that being the case, there's no way they're going to suit him up and put him in harm's way because this is still a young player who should have many more years of football in front of him. And remember, he is under contract to the Giants next season. All right, let's see what else we have on Giants Chat. A.J. Marshall says, what's the status on Andre Brown, and will he play this week? Andre Brown was limited. He did clear his NFL concussion test the other day. He was limited at practice on Christmas morning. So I would say it looks as though there is a good chance that he's on track to play against the Skins on Sunday. Tim Farrell just happens to retweet our program, and we appreciate that very much, but does not have a question for us. We have NYG Cap Central wants to know, when is the earliest the Giants can move away from the Will Beatty contract? Well, let's see now. Let's take a glance at Will Beatty's contract. I have my numbers here, and we'll see what his tenure is or what his term is. I'll be honest with you. Offhand, I thought he signed a 5-year deal before the season. Let's see. The deal takes him through the 2017 season. Okay, so he's got 14, 15, 16, 17. I was correct. It was a 5-year deal before this year. He's got 4 years left. Now, in 2014, he's got just under $5 million as his base. There are a bunch of annual workout bonuses, escalators, you know, incentives of things of that nature. But, you know, his number is going to continue to go up base-wise until finally in 2017 he's making well over $6.5 million. So he's not a free agent in 2018. I don't have all the breakdowns right now specifically on his contract bonuses to let you know when it makes financial sense to think about slicing him. There's always the possibility at some point, as you know, that a player will take a pay cut to stay on a team later on down the road, like Corey Webster did this year. I shouldn't mention him because it turned out to be a disastrous season for Corey. But those are the kind of things you have to keep in mind when you're talking about a player who's got a big number. I do think Antrell Roll, by the way, is probably another candidate, along with Eli Manning, to get an extension and to lower his cap number for 2014. I got a couple other comments here, but no other questions, it looks like. Let's see here.
Oh, well, we do have one item here, very interesting, from NYG Cap Central. He has given us a number of comments today. He's saying, let's see, I can't really go through all of this. He's got quite a bit of things here in terms of some moves he'd like to make, but it's a little too complex to just read that one over the air. Some things that he believes the Giants could use to reduce their number. Got some Merry Christmas wishes, and certainly Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody out there in New York Giants land. Let's see here. D. Barnes, here's one. Says, my memories of Candlestick Park is when the Giants beat the 49ers twice, then went on to win the Super Bowl. Those are pretty good memories. Matt Barr and Lawrence Tynes, the two kickers who ended the 49ers' playoff runs those seasons. Let's see. We have Gary Zyskowski, comments about one of our callers, Ann, who says, I think she's a Giants fan. She just knew too much about the Giants, and that wasn't her the last time you guys thought it was, FYI. So they're thinking there might have been an impersonator on our program at some point. That's very interesting. All right, so that looks like what we have on Twitter today. Again, 201-939-4513 is our phone number. The Giants, by the way, are 3-4 at MetLife Stadium at home this season. Victories over Minnesota, Oakland, and Green Bay. Losses at home to Denver, Philadelphia, Dallas, and Seattle. So trying to even up their home record at 4-4 against the Redskins at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Quickly, let's go through the injury report. We did not get the pre-practice report for this morning as of yet, but I will tell you, yesterday morning, the Giants did have a practice indeed on Christmas morning before they sent everybody home for the holiday. The following folks did not practice. No surprise, Victor Cruz after arthroscopic knee surgery. Tremaine McBride with a groin, Brandon Mosley with a hand, JPP the shoulder, Adrian Robinson with a knee, Cooper Taylor with a hamstring. As you know, Cooper Taylor was then put on IR. And, Terrell Thomas with a knee, taking his usual day off for maintenance purposes. And there's another guy, by the way. Terrell Thomas is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. This is a guy who I think most Giant fans would like to see return in 2014. There are probably some who are conservative and will say, well, look, you got another year out of him after major knee surgery for the third time. How much more is he going to play? You know, when's his drop-off going to be? Are you going to the well too often? Should you just cut bait now? You know, be thankful you got a healthy season out of him. That's an interesting question. I'd bring him back. I really would. And I think he wants to come back. And I think it would be at a reasonable number as well. And maybe you throw some extra incentives in there so that if he does wind up starting X number of games, if he does come up with four or five picks, if he does defend 15 passes, maybe he can get some extra cash. You want to try to reward the guy for his efforts. That's fine, too. But it is an interesting question. You know, how long will his knee be able to hold up? We do know the Giants did give him a day off each and every week this season to try to maintain his level of play on Sunday, and it worked out pretty well. So he's another one of those unrestricted free agents you got to be very, very careful of when trying to re-sign. John Beeson, oh my goodness, how did I forget about him? John Beeson's another UFA. You know, Len, we got to get you back on the phone. I mean, we're not going to do this really, but I mean, I should have thought of some of these other guys when we were talking about it, because John Beeson has become a very important part of this defense, and he's a guy you're going to want to re-sign for sure. And I know he wants to come back, but it's going to come down to what are the numbers, how much, how many years do you get, include incentives in his deal. Very important part of this D. So I think you would terribly miss John Beeson if he did not return. Then of course the other guy that, you know, we've all talked about all season long, is Akeem Nicks. Now, he's been injury-plagued for the last 2 years, and we've seen his production suffer. I, for one, will tell you this. I hope he gets a touchdown on Sunday. I don't want him to go into the offseason without touching the end zone. I think that would be a shame. I think it would be very troublesome for him. I do think that Eli's going to try to get him a touchdown. I think Kevin Gilbride's going to try to get him a touchdown. I think they'll do everything they possibly can to get Akeem Nicks past the goal line on Sunday. And I'd like to see it. Now, in terms of his status for 2014, that is a very, very sticky situation. Not only do you have to deal with his health and find out where he is physically, you have to find out where he is mentally and emotionally. How much does he truly want to come back? You need to figure that out. You need to have a sit-down with him and say, okay, where do you stand? Hakeem, what are your tools telling you now in terms of your abilities, A? And then B, what is your heart and your mind and your emotion telling you in terms of what you want to do with those abilities? And C, how do you value those things? Because that's the other problem. If all three of those things are not in cohesion with where the Giants are thinking, then there's no way he's coming back. If any one of those things are disjointed, Hakeem Nicks is going to be somewhere else next season. So understand this. The odds are likely that Hakeem Nicks will not be a Giant next year. That's pretty obvious because there are three things that have to be coherent and in good fit for him to return. By the very nature of that process, one of those three is probably not going to be. Maybe even two of them will not be. So I'd say the odds are good that Hakeem Nicks will not be a Giant in 2014. Is it impossible? No. I don't think it's impossible. I think there is a chance that those three things could be aligned and he could return. I just don't think it's very likely. Anyway, 201-939-4513. Our phone lines are open. Limited participation in Christmas morning practice. Andre Brown with a concussion and Peyton Hillis coming off of a concussion from the week prior. Both players had to be cleared by the NFL to be able to do anything at practice. Remember, the NFL's concussion rules are simple. If you don't pass the NFL's objective concussion tests, you are not allowed on the practice field, period. The fact that both guys were out there limited yesterday means they passed the NFL tests and have been told they've got the green light to play. Now it's up to the Giants and their medical staff to decide how much should these guys practice during the week in preparation for the game, and then if they're ready for the game, should they play. But the NFL now has already cleared them. The fact that they were at practice yesterday means they are a go. David Deal, with his sore knee, was also limited to practice yesterday, as was defensive tackle Cullen Jenkins, who's been battling shin and quad injuries now for the last several weeks, but continues to go out there on game day despite missing some practices and give it all he's got. I'll tell you, there's another guy, by the way, fellas, and you know, Nile and Asher are both sitting in here in our studios as we do this show every morning. I have to say, Cullen Jenkins was a really good addition. And I know the Giants are not making the playoffs, and you could say, well, how good were all of these additions? Guys like Beeson and guys like Jenkins and guys like Josh Brown. You know, how good were these additions? The Giants didn't make the playoffs, and ultimately that's the bottom line. You want to win. Well, I get that, okay? But that doesn't mean that these guys weren't quality players. It doesn't mean that they didn't earn their keep, because they did. Cullen Jenkins is a good player and a better player than I thought when they got him. I always thought he was an above-average player, but not much more than that. What I have found out is he's a good player. He's also a really good locker room guy, and I like him a lot. And I also like his versatility to be able to actually play some defensive end in a pinch when you need him. So I think the Cullen Jenkins signing was a good signing. And again, we talked about Josh Brown. Heck, how many of you folks out there, I'd love to know, thought that when the Giants could not come to terms with Lawrence Tynes because he wanted more money and he decided to walk, and the Giants wound up bringing in Josh Brown for the minimum, by the way, the minimum, an 11-year pro who had a track record almost that mirrored Lawrence Tynes's. I mean, these guys had very similar stats, very, very close. Brown better on kickoffs. And they got him for minimum. See, folks, that's the business part of that that a lot of fans sometimes don't understand. And I know that when Lawrence Tynes got away, there were a lot of fans who felt bad because he had been so critical to the Giants' postseason runs in recent memory. But sometimes the business does have to get in the way of things. From a business perspective, the Giants absolutely made the right move. They got a minimum salaried veteran kicker who was 21 out of 23 on field goals this year and did a pretty darn good job on kickoffs too. Certainly, Lawrence Tynes would not have performed any better than Josh Brown did this season. I don't think you could possibly argue that case. Maybe he would have performed as well because, again, their resumes mirrored each other. So what you could tell me is Lawrence Tynes and Josh Brown would have been a wash this year. But the difference is Lawrence Tynes wasn't signing for the minimum. He was going to really hurt your salary cap. He wanted, you know, an excess of, well, not an excess of, but he was looking at something at close to $2 million this season. Giants were not going to give him that. So hats off again to the Giants personnel people. They go out and they target Josh Brown, and he signs the veteran minimum, and he has a truly outstanding season. So that was good value. And you know what? I'd like to see Josh Brown come back. The guy's in the league 11 years. Kickers sometimes go 20 years in this league before they're finally pushed out. Josh Brown has not shown any semblance of losing his leg strength. In fact, kicked a 52-yarder in Detroit the other day, which was his season long. So, in my mind, this is not a John Carney scenario. When they brought him in a few years ago, as you folks will recall, and he kicked for the Giants for 1 year and went to the Pro Bowl. But the last month of the season, you saw how he was wearing out. And his leg strength started to dissipate. And it was obvious. His kickoffs weren't very strong. In fact, they got weaker and weaker and weaker. And then even his field goals at the very end of the season started to become a little bit of an issue. That's not the case with Josh Brown. Josh Brown looks as good today as he did when he got here in August. So, I'm going to say Josh Brown should stay. Now, the question becomes, is he going to want to try to break the bank? You know, he signed his one-year minimum with the Giants because there was nobody else out there to sign with, and they came calling, and he was like, okay, fine, we'll do it. I think he was looking at this as a year to prove himself, and he may want to cash in after what has been a terrific season. That's a problem. Because if Josh Brown really wants to do that, I don't know if you can keep him. I just don't know. That could be another tough call. And yet he's done everything that you paid him to do. See, the thing is, folks, and this is where my problem is being a personnel guy or a GM guy. I do like to fancy myself as I come at the game with a coach's mentality. But it's very hard to come at the game with the GM's mentality because the GM has to consider the injuries, he has to consider the financial burdens, he has to consider the cap implications, he has to consider the chemistry, he has to consider the talent production. There are so many things that a GM or personnel guy have to consider when deciding whether or not a player should stay or go. So many things that have to be considered. And that's a problem. It's a big problem. Because there's no easy answer to these things. Especially when a player says, look what I just did for you. I want to be rewarded. Josh Brown comes to Jerry Reese in the offseason now and says, look what I just did for you. I bailed you out this year. You were looking for a kicker. I signed a one-year veteran minimum, and I gave you a stellar performance. I deserve more. You got to pay me. You know what? He's got a point. He was worth every dime of the contract they gave him and then some. But now what do you do when you know you've got to rebuild your offensive line? You've got to probably rebuild your running back core. You're going to have to do something to fortify your wide receiving core. You know, you've got to have to make sure you re-sign John Beeson or your linebackers are going to be back to square one again. How do you look Josh Brown in the eye and say, you're right, I'm going to give you a reward for what you did. I'm going to give you extra money. How do you do that when you really probably don't have it to give him? Now you got to look him in the eye and say, you're right, you were terrific. We really like you. We'd love to give you more money. You deserve it, but we don't have it to give you. I'm sorry, we have no more. We need to take care of John Beeson. We need to take care of Justin Tuck. We need to take care of, Stevie Brown. Coming back off of a knee injury. We need to add offensive linemen. We need to do this and that and this and that and this and that. Josh, all we got is the one-year veteran minimum. That's all we've got. Can you come back for that? Otherwise, we're going to have to make a call to somebody else. We're going to have to call Shane Graham or somebody like that. That's how sometimes you lose good players. Anyway. Folks, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow will be back tomorrow, same time, 9:30 to 10:30 here on Giants.com for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Our phone number, 201-939-4513. The rest of today's schedule is as follows. Practice from about 12 o'clock till about 1:45. Then we will talk to Coach Coughlin on the field. That, of course, is a media-only session followed by player interviews in the locker room. And then after that, we will be talking to the coordinators, Kevin Gilbride and Perry Fuel and Tom Quinn. And later on this afternoon on Giants.com, you'll have all those media sound bites available to you to listen to for your football viewing pleasure, as well as at 4 o'clock, we will have Big Blue Hits live on Giants.com, streamed. Myself, I believe Roman Oben, hopefully Anita Marks will be able to join us as well. And that will cap off your fabulous Thursday afternoon. That'll do it for now. I'm Paul Dottino. So long, everybody.